Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Yeah, am I good?
How did you do a subtle look like we didn't know you start press record?
Just to do a secret.
But yeah, but you hit record so hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we all know that you're recording, nigga.
It's because I got headphones on, isn't it? So to me, it sounds like, oh, I didn't hear that. But I'm just heavy-handed, isn't it, in general? You know what I'm saying? What can I say?
How does that work with women?
God okay. Damn. God.
Reed Richards over there.
Exactly, man.
Good with his hands. Fucking hell.
Massive. Father, stretch my hands.
Have you guys been seeing that edit on TikTok? It's the MJ edit.
Which one?
It's not the the trend going around right now with like it's about something about my eyes, isn't it? Like it's a Billie Jean.
Like the a cappella Billie Jean thing.
And then it's my eyes, and it will be like Jordan, like balling out, and then when it goes to like he has my eyes for the Billie Jean part of the song, it will go to like Anthony Edwards. It will start with Dino, and then it go into Neymar. Bruh, I've been hooked on this one edit, like that like a trend going around. It's just amazing. Like every single clip of it just looks amazing.
I said it's a good sports edit.
Yeah,
I'll be there scrolling for hours.
Big mountain.
Oh. That's your bag anyway. Man pointed at you, you know.
No, still at the water. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
This guy's a Gen Z-er.
Man said, pass my water now.
Oh, yeah, pass it in the bag. Oh, thank you, Russell, fam.
Eminem's all over again.
It's going to be a great audio experience.
To be fair, no one heard that. I can hear it.
To be fair, if Kids doesn't fucking whack out the Eminem's, bro, in a second. You
know, I forgot to get it. I'll get it for the next episode.
Yeah, same.
So, for the one, are you going to be interested? You are, innit? Of course you'll be interested in that one.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm a TV bro, movie bro. I'm a bro.
No, but there's some, like, you didn't really care about the last episode with me and Biss and Ori.
No, I was intrigued to hear about Scandal. I'm not going to go watch it.
He's like, black women.
Yeah.
Black women. I'm out. Kerry Washington. Yeah. Like, Bisola got him in the last clip as well. I don't know if you guys saw it.
What was the clip?
You know, we were doing career-defining roles.
No, I cut that out.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
I did.
No,
you didn't.
Cut out the worst part.
Yeah,
oh, she says that enough.
Yeah,
she says that in Brazier, and then I was like, nah, bro. That, like, it was funny, and then it was way too far because it's like, haha, yeah, cool. But it's just like, oh, wait a minute. But yeah, she said that.
She
was like, I support black women or something like that, and just gave us an eye or something. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, the part's still on the thing.
Yeah, that's still like,
that's on it. But I'm saying
there's something else.
The next part. Like,
well, what was the next part?
Well,
I don't remember the exact wording.
Well, we're not going to say it because I don't want to edit again.
Oh, you have to cut it out of the episode.
Yeah, I cut it out of the episode, yeah.
That's funny.
So I'm saying.
All right, well, this is in.
But I told her. Then.
Great. But no, told her. Don't worry. I'm starting the EP now after 3 minutes. Like,
nah.
I'll cut all this out.
No, it's cool. Keep it. It's fine.
Fair enough. Well, we're back in the studio today for the, I guess, the closing of the blockbuster season, arguably. We've had four of them so far this summer, I would argue.
Oh.
Starting with Jurassic World. And then
really,
yeah, Jurassic World was like last month.
No, what does that count as a?
No, it's definitely a blockbuster.
Does Jurassic World count as a blockbuster?
Bad though.
I know you can have
whether it's good or not.
That's another conversation.
It's another convo, but okay, it's still a blockbuster. Do you get what I mean?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that started off. I think that kicked off at the start of June, and then since then we've been sort of locked into this blockbuster season. First and foremost, before we get into the app, let's just check in and see how everyone's doing. Starting with Manny, how are you?
I'm great, my guy. I'm all good. Yeah. Had a great week.
Sober July.
Yeah, sober July. Coming to an end. Yeah, I haven't touched alcohol since.
Got a smile on his face. He's like,
the end of June.
Is that because you go hard in August?
No, it was just completely random. I literally woke up.
Oh, nice.
On at the end of June, it's like I'm not drinking next month. I think it's my way of telling myself that I'm not going to be outside. And I spent every single weekend outside this month, apart from this weekend, actually. But yeah, it's been calm, man. It's been good. had a great week. Went to see Kendrick and SZA.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great, fam. It was really great. SZA is...
Where, by the way?
A performer. Where?
Yeah, where?
Tottenham. Stadium. SZA's a performer and a half. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know that's what she had. As a performer. As a musician.
She's got a lot.
She could.
Percentage wise, how much is that performer?
What's the other percentage?
I don't know.
You tell us. Like,
100% performer. Like,
100% performance. That's what you judged her on, and that's it.
That's what I'm judging on right now, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got like other factors.
Ah, guys.
That's it.
She did came out giving, I'm pretty sure it was like an odd towards Spice Girls when she came out looking like Jerry Spice. It looked wavy. The whoever done the costume design for her specifically, brazy.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Good time.
Us?
Yeah, man. I'm good. High spirits at the moment. Nothing really going on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching. Obviously, when you guys watch this, it'll be done. So hopefully, it's come home. But after this, I'm going to watch the England Euros final, the women's England v Spain. So actually, I'm gonna speak it into existence. Well done for winning. Yes, it's come home. Two in a row, guys. Two in a row. Come on. But yeah, man, so I'm very excited to watch that. And that's my whole weekend plans, man. Like, I did nothing yesterday, bro. I chilled. I actually saw you yesterday.
Yeah, we ran into each other. Like, I was to go watch a Fantastic Four at 10:30 at night, got off the train with my brother. Turned on, went, hold on. I recognize that person.
Really? Yeah. In Uxbridge. How random is that?
Just ran
off. How are you in Uxbridge?
That late.
My mum called me at like 9 o'clock. She's here. Visiting, and she was like, oh, I'm alone in the house. I am scared, so come around and stay around. And I was like, all right. So late night, I just go on a train and go back to Oxbridge to then go to West Drayton.
Where are you staying now then?
In Wembley.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, everyone knows that.
Yeah, this guy doxed himself.
You know what I think about when we say it's coming home for England? Does that also include the Euros? Because I always thought it was just a World Cup.
I thought it was a World Cup as well, yeah.
No, it's a World Cup song, but I think it's generally now just a cultural thing now.
Because we can't win the World Cup, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think even club teams like use it like that. Ah, it's coming home.
Nah.
What club? Nah. What club begs it like that?
The silent point to himself is crazy.
Well, thanks, bro. Yeah, man, I'm good, bro.
Jason?
I'm all good.
Are you finally here yet?
No, full time in the sense of like living here is not going to happen until like 2026. I've been working here full time now since Monday.
That commute must be,
Yeah, hell. Commute is tough, man. Commute is tough.
No,
but it's actually not that bad. It's just going on the way back. But yeah, the steps are in place. Things are happening. And don't worry.
What are you proposing?
That is definitely an off the point question.
Well, if you want, okay, I have a house with 2 spare rooms, so just let me know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's true. I'm actually so serious. But yeah, cool. Yeah. Guys, mate, how are you, fam?
Same old.
Why are you looking cute today, fam? Where are you going?
Nowhere. How about that?
That is shit. Who are you looking, fam?
No one, you know. No one to Linky, to be fair. It's quiet.
Oh, really? What? Has Hinge just dropped down a little bit?
It's just no one to Linky, man.
You would be like a Raya guy, innit?
A what?
Raya.
Also,
I don't know what that is.
You know what Raya is.
I don't think anyone knows what it is.
Oh, right. It's a celebrity dating app.
Celebrities have dating apps?
Yes. Yeah, it's called Raya. So I was at a Yami's house on Friday.
Why would we just know that?
Because because you don't have to be a celebrity.
Yeah, sure,
there.
But
you just have to be recommended by like 4 people.
Sure, but why would we just know that?
I thought it was like my peers know it. Jumps as in like
yeah.
Mo and stuff and okay, whatever.
But y'all are in that world.
That's what he's trying to get.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, okay.
So essentially, you're around celebrities.
Yeah.
I'm not around celebrities. No, guys, I'm saying anybody can be on it. I'm saying anybody can be on it. Okay, you just need like a recommendation.
You just need 4 celebrity recommendations.
No, four that are on the app already, right?
Okay.
But I'm saying this because I think you would sweep, bro, on that app. I think you would do well. Bro, there's that like, as in the other day, Ayame was going through it. Bro, Loftus Cheeks on there, Tomori. Like,
why are you just throwing people's name out?
Yeah, he's just
what
are you doing? The whole game out.
Let's move on.
There was Batman on there.
I can tell Ruben's a bad guy. Yeah, he must be a bad guy.
Bro, he's perfect, shot. Top off.
I said the whole industry is on here.
But I'm saying he'd sweep the whole fam. He would get like a low key Florence Pugh or something. Well,
I
know it.
I can't upset Biss though, innit?
I was going to say,
she's on the app though.
Soon come when we're all famous, guys will be on the app.
Oh, yeah. Bro, yeah. Actually, no, bro, get the app, bro, get the app.
Nah, it's Biss, man.
I just want to see what girls are on there. I'm just mad curious.
I did watch Fantastic Four though. So that was a good part.
Oh, is that what we're here for?
Yeah.
We're dead ass 10 minutes into this.
What?
I guess you have to warm people up.
Yeah.
You get into the topic of demand. Fantastic Four, First Steps.
Woo!
Huge demands on this movie just due to the state of Marvel as it has been in terms of the multiversal saga. You've got casting hirings and firings. You've got poorly received movies and TV shows. You've got a few good ones in there, but generally speaking, the standard hasn't necessarily been to the highest that you'd expect from Marvel. A lot of reasons go into that. You know, there's a lot of politics that go into the world of film and TV, which has led us to this current state now where there's a lot riding on this movie, you know, especially after what would be deemed a success of Superman. However you like that film or not, it was definitely and has been a success. So a lot of pressure on Fantastic Four First Steps. Going into the movie, I'm more intrigued by Manny first than anyone else because I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily the like most...
Oh, my God, that's true.
With what was true?
What are you about to say?
What was I going to say?
But he's been, like, out of Marvel for time, innit? So
I was more leaning towards, like, just, like, Fantastic Four aren't... Although I'd say you know about comic book movies and stuff, I don't know how well-versed you are with Fantastic Four as a whole and just interested in them as characters. So that's why I'm intrigued to know your feeling about the movie prior to watching.
I'm definitely interested in them as characters because I did, like, prior to this weekend, obviously watch the original Fantastic Four series.
How many of them did you... All three of them?
This weekend I watched all three of them.
Did you?
I watched all three of them yesterday and Friday. I'll talk about them in a second. But prior to that, I did watch the original series when did they come out, like in the early 2000s. And I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the world that they have. I seen the anime series back in the late 90s, early 2000s, however old I was when I first watched it. So I did have an interest within the characters and also them being the first family of the MCU. Always have a thing about origins. Or being like the first of such a long franchise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was quite interesting trying to see how a franchise will try to modernize them.
Yeah.
So I had some interest in it. I think my lack of interest only would have come from just my issues with the MCU over the last few years rather than Fantastic Four specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after Superman, I was a bit more excited for it in terms of... I know they've got nothing to do with each other, but I think...
It's the whole genre.
Yeah, I think Superman allowed me to... Even Thunderbolt to a sense, but I get that that's a bit different because I know the tone of Thunderbolt wasn't going to translate in the same way with other films going forward.
For sure.
But Superman was definitely a lot more closer than that.
Palette cleanser, if you like.
Yeah, and it got me a bit more comfortable like coming into watching...
Spending your hard-earned money to go and watch a superhero movie, to be fair.
Yeah, do you know what? Because I got the card. I got a card. Yeah, it's more about time, isn't it? so I'll say how I feel about the film whenever we start talking about it. But that, I guess that's how I felt beforehand. I was excited because I'm a bit excited for the Fantastic Four in general, and also Thunderbolts was a good film. So I was looking forward to it, leading up to it.
Hus,
yeah, I was excited. I was, yes, Marvel bias was there. I can't lie. At the same time as well, just like movie bias, I think. I wanted Superman to do well, but I said from day one, I was like, I think Air Force is going to run through it.
I'm going to say something. It's going to mean nothing to you. You see the way that he talks about Superman is the same way that Derek is with Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah. Like pretends to like him.
So we have a mate that every time Drake drops something, he's like, oh no, I really wanted to do well. Oh, it's a shame it's not good.
Like, you can see how fake he's being. Like, I think he's doing it to like keep up an image so that it doesn't like a hate us. But yeah, sometimes you have to admit.
Yeah, sometimes okay. Just not, be the hater that you are.
It's not true.
I don't think you are as bad, by the way. But yeah. But it's there.
We
didn't enjoy Superman as much as everyone else.
We done a whole Superman
and he was happy about
review.
It.
And okay. I gave it a fair score and I said that I said then, like, it was if that Superman film was given to me like 5 years ago, I would have rated it a bit less. But I think because it was given to me at a time where there's a whole franchise being built, for what it stood for is why I rated it a little bit higher. As a film itself, yeah, nah, I didn't like enjoy it as much as everybody else for sure. Okay, but like for what it is, like Iron Man 1 for me is not a perfect film. Do you get me? Okay, but for what it done, it gets high ratings. So that's what I think this is gonna do for it. But yeah, I just thought going into that, I just thought that even though I had no evidence, and also last year I think for time I've been saying that I haven't been confident with the F4 cast at all. The only one of them that I was rating was Vanessa Kirby.
Kirby.
And then like the.
You're sick, you know.
Did I say anything?
You smiled.
So I'm not allowed to smile now.
Can't smile here, man.
Alright, sittable.
It's a smiling free zone.
if Vanessa Kirby was a black woman, we wouldn't be smiling.
Yeah, no.
That's cat.
Can't lie, she looks good pregnant though.
God damn. That's a Trent.
Yeah, she looks good, man. If anything, I'm praising it. I'm like,
yeah,
you
glowing.
Look,
yeah,
you look.
She was glowing. But yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I was just excited, bro.
I'm going to switch the conversation quickly.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Have you lot seen the recent interviews with the cast?
Yeah.
Brother, oh my days.
Well, let's do a quick discussion on it. What do you guys make of that?
Bro, he's just an affectionate person, man.
Wait, who's what? Who?
What are we talking about?
What are you talking about?
I think I know where you're going.
Vanessa are all over each other.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual junkets and the interviews that we've
and
seen.
And the chemistry between the cast.
More so, some of the questions that the cast have been facing from the people doing the interviews. So one of the questions to Sue Storm was, someone said, in the scene where she's using her cosmic effects?
Yeah.
Oh. And I think someone said she's given cunt face.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And she was like, whoa.
She's like, what the hell does it mean?
And then there's the daddy thing. And then the daddy thing. Where someone was like, it's been a thing for a while where they've been calling Pedro daddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they brought it up in the Fantastic Four thing and it just seemed a bit off. There was that one. I think there was another interview where someone got their questions wrong or the information they had wrong because they used
ChatGPT.
And they're like, oh, AI has not done me a favor or something like that. So there's just been a few miscues and.
This is why you book the post credit scene podcast for your fucking interviews, okay? Thank you.
I've just found it so interesting that there's been a spate of poor interviews and lining of questioning. And I think you can see a difference when it's done really well compared to when it's not. There was another one where someone asked the question to Ebon Moss-Backrack, who played the Thing. And I think Joseph Quinn.
Like, oh, the gobbling up. Like, she was like,
yeah. Oh, my days. Were you sending me? Yeah.
Oh,
you go. Yeah, you
no,
go.
No. So I can't remember the exact question, right? But the interviewer was just like, oh, I was just gobbling up that scene. And then Joseph Quinn starts staring at
Ebon Moss.
Yeah.
Oh, that's joke.
And then, like, literally, they continue the. So he stares, he laughs. And then Pedro looks like, okay, what's going on? And then they kind of like move past it. But then they continue the conversation. And you know when like your friend and you like look each other, but yeah, you can feel that he's still like, if you look again, you're going to laugh. And then look again and they laugh again. But this time they really laugh.
But like, do you know, like, I thought you were talking about how like Vanessa and him are all over each other. Like how she was like scratching his face during an interview and he was holding her hand on the carpet. There was like two carpets, the one in Sydney and the one in London, where she was like walking past and then he kind of grabbed her waist and stuff like that. And then people were like, why is he like constantly feeling?
Yeah, it's
constantly
become a conversation.
I think
but she's on him too. She's literally all over him as well. Do you get me? Yeah. But I think he was just that. And she done. There was an interview where she said that she got mad at him on set one time because he was sick or something, so he wasn't on set for like 2 days. And then she was like, "I fucking missed him." Blah 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 blah. And it was really cute, yeah. But obviously, after everything that people have been saying, it's like, brother, you're pregnant with like someone else's kid, and
this guy's rubbing on you.
Yeah, like what's going on? But I personally don't think it's an issue. Like I don't know, like...
I think it's just the internet's need to constantly have a conversation about something.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, with Pedro Pascal in particular anyway, like, sure, you know, you can make the argument he's a little bit touchy with his female co-stars, but he's also touchy with his male co-stars. Like, you know, there's a whole compilation.
Also, it looks consensual. Everyone's smiling.
That's... Yeah,
exactly. But again,
far as we're aware, this seems consensual. So it's like, why are we trying to have a conversation about something that doesn't need to
he's
be
just a handsy guy. I literally saw him do the same thing with William Dafoe.
He was exactly
touching him bare. I was like, yeah. Wow, this guy likes to touch people.
This guy is just doing that with everybody else. But it's like, hey, it's just the internet age.
What did you want
to
say?
Yeah, before we move on, just want to quickly go back to Gaz's point in terms of
shoot.
I guess the lack of professionalism within the journalism aspect of some of the interviews. I don't necessarily know why I feel like it's happened quite a lot more with this film in particular.
Yeah.
I think my assumption might be just because Fantastic Four does come across as more of a fun, quirky film, that they might be getting journalists that are a lot more quirky in a sense, that might also come across a bit more unprofessional through the eyes of other people, which it looks like. I don't know if it's an issue that's consistent within the sector itself, if we're going to get a lot more interviews like this, but I'm glad it is something that people are bringing up.
Possible answer as to the lack of professionalism, to your point, but
no, go on, shoot.
No, so with Pedro Pascal, he is somebody who's like very online, like in the sense of like knowing memes, knowing jokes, and so on and so forth. Because one thing I've noticed about the junkets and interviews that they were doing, they always tend to have a question about a meme, a question that Pedro Pascal always knows. And it's like, especially with nowadays, like Gen Z meme culture is bizarre, like to say the least.
It's all rampant.
Pun?
It's also rampant.
Yeah, exactly. It's also rampant. So I do think it's almost like a two-way street, where like Pedro Pascal is playing into this whole internet chronically online type of culture. So therefore, we are going to give you chronically online type of journalists who might not be able to have it's going to sound really harsh, like a proper real life conversation.
Yeah.
In terms of like how to.
The thing is, you're absolutely right, because I feel like the Superman junket run was fantastic. Okay, like some of the stuff, okay, that I saw James Gunn on, okay, he went on actual comic book shows, right? Even some that don't have a crazy amount of followers, okay, like he went on there and they asked him like real stuff, like if it's to do with the comics, the direction, the writing, his previous cast members, blah blah blah, okay, and then they paired them up all in like three different times, like I know when they were in London, David Cornsweet. And who plays Lois again?
Rachel Brosnahan.
Yes. They were doing a lot of press together. Sorry. Him and Nicholas Holt were doing a lot of press together here. Uh-huh. And then in the US and in like most Europe, okay, it was him and Thingy and Rachel, right? But then Nicholas was doing a lot of things with James Gunn. Like, it was really good. Like, and like, I've been locked into a lot of these conversations. Obviously, it helps that Gunn is a bit more loosey-goosey with what he's saying, okay, so it's a bit more like, oh shit, da, 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 da. But like the Marvel cast, do you think that also it's not fair on the journalists as well, okay, because they can't say much? So like a lot of the time, okay, like if you're trying to get like a sick part of it, okay, like yeah, they can talk about how good the film is, but the real questions that they want to ask, like the future of the MCU, but they can't do anything.
But I don't think you need to. Like, you're here to talk about one particular film. I don't think you need to necessarily ask questions about future films within the franchise, because the whole point of junkets is to get people to want to go see that film or talk about that film particularly. And I think and I get it. Like, we do live in a world where meme culture, social media, engagement is important to get people to go and watch this film, to get people to engage with whatever content's coming out from this film. But I think there's ways about it. I think when you're trying to force that content, even with the daddy thing, it's like, or all the other interviews they had, it's like, bro, like, none of that felt natural. I get that you're sitting...
Do you know what I think it speaks to? Well, you finish first, because you was actually still speaking. So.
Yeah, it's okay. I get that you're trying to try to be funny, create banter, but I feel like sometimes all of that comes naturally, especially with somebody like Pedro Pascal, and even the cast in general. You can tell that there are a cast that's really close knit together. They're comfortable every time I see them talk, and I think it'll be so easy to have a conversation with them and allow the jokes to come out naturally.
Facts.
or for the banter to come out naturally. Trying to force all of that in there because you feel like you have to, just to get a moment or a meme, it just feels unprofessional, and it's not enjoyable to watch, nor is it good content to consume, and nor would that make me want to go watch the film. And I hope that on the back of this, the people that have done these interviews will look back and think like, oh, maybe next time we can do something a bit different and maybe allow such things to come out naturally. But yeah, so go on.
I was just going to say, I think it speaks to like what's currently at play. It's like not a real versus per se, but like you've got the content creators who might be either TikTokers or personalities online who get these opportunities, and that's amazing. I will never slight anyone that gets an opportunity to do that, because I think it's really dope. If you can carve your own sort of pathway, and people recognise you've got a skill set and put you in those spaces, dope. But I don't think you can ever discount the importance of journalistic ethics and morals and doing the job correctly. And I think if you can marry the two, you've got an ideal world. If you can marry someone's personality who also then puts their research into finding out about the Fantastic Four, about the cast, about their previous work, about Vanessa Kirby being pregnant and then how that plays into her being pregnant with Sue Storm, things like that, you can still get to know the character and the actor through just doing a bit of basic research, through just having your basic journalistic ethics which are there, and then bringing your personality to light with that rather than just leaning into, I guess, the content creation or the personality that you are. But that's just
I mean, that's not so much on the content creators at this point, it's on the companies picking those people, because
that takes a responsibility from the individual though.
While I do agree, yes, but I guess in the same vein, I'm like, to your point, like, I'm never gonna discredit somebody for accepting opportunity, do you know what I mean?
No, it's what you do with it.
Yeah, I guess it's what you do with it, but it's more so because, like, I could count a lot of content creators who kind of like have that whole journalistic kind of like integrity, so to speak, as well as a personality that,
like, Ada's great. Season,
yeah,
she shows her personality, but she's also very much journalistic effort. Like, she's great at what she does in terms of sparking a conversation. Yeah. But yeah, I was just intrigued to get your thoughts, seen as, you know, this is an industry that we're in, and I've seen a lot of funny stuff lately. Let's get into the film anyway.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
I like that segment though.
Yeah. Thank you. Fantastic Four First Steps. I was excited, I can't lie. I was gassed going into this film, man. Really excited for it, just based upon from what I saw, the way the film looked. I didn't think much of the cast per se, but I had enough faith to think it could work. Matt Shakman directed, obviously, WandaVision. He brought that to life. And I think you can see a lot of that work there in this movie. This is his first movie in 10 years, by the way. Man.
Okay.
Holy damn.
Yeah, what's he done before?
He's done, I can't remember the film specifically, but he's done Game of Thrones since then. He's done WandaVision.
Okay.
So he's, you know, he's well respected and he's a craftsman, if you like. I thought the movie was great. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's flawed. It's great. And I think sometimes great movies can be flawed, you know?
Yeah.
I think the movie looks amazing. I think that was the thing that stood out to me the most about the movie.
Yeah.
Was the way it looked.
Yeah.
And they actually built a lot of a set.
Yeah. We've got a segment for that, so we can definitely dive into that at some point.
Nice.
It's just, I went into the movie and I was already immersed from the get-go. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Oh, it was quick. You were in.
And do you think it helped? What did you guys think of the opening 10 minutes? And the reason I asked that is because Kevin Feige actually said before that those 10 minutes will tell you everything that you need to know.
I panicked. I remember I was with Yasmin and I was like to her, like, oh my God, this is going a bit too fast, right? But the opening 10 minutes, well, once you watch the rest of the film, you go, the pacing was so perfect. You know what I mean? So, at the start, it was like, I'm so glad it wasn't a traditional origin, do you know what I mean, of who they were, because we had to get to a point where they've been doing this. You know, there's a wider story to tell here. You know, and they are actually already complex characters. So we got to start their complexities a little bit later on, which I think worked so well. So so that opening 10 for me set the scene. Set the whole tone.
Yeah.
No, I think I agree. I think one thing that I really appreciate that especially superhero films now do is they don't give you a straight up origin story. I think Batman is the only one as of late where he's like, okay, we're gonna tell the story from the beginning. But everything, like, you got Superman, he's already 3 years in.
Which Batman are you talking about?
Robert Patt.
We didn't get origin in that.
Yes, it was like,
no, it's not.
Yeah,
he just see, he started. You met him as Batman.
Origin is his.
Oh, okay. Then there you go. Well, that
it kind of adds to your point. Yeah.
It adds to my point where it's just like, you know, we don't get like a straight up origin anymore. And I do think that's because, like, in the culture that we're in right now, like, superheroes are the blockbuster films nowadays. Yeah. Like, back then they were a little bit fringe, so you might need to explain, you know, did Spider-Man become Spider-Man, or why did Batman, and so on and so forth. But
it's true.
With Fantastic Four, Soup, Batman, we already know these characters. They're part of, like, I mean, they always were part of pop culture, but they're like on the top of that list nowadays. And I think audiences themselves, like, are going to get bored if we get straight up.
I think we're pretty much aware of these superheroes' origin stories, especially when there's already films made about them previously.
Yeah.
And also, it's good narrative device to be able to tell the origin story throughout the film, in the flow of the film,
yeah,
rather than just giving it to us at the beginning. And just a quick one talking about how the film looked. I know that Matt Shackman directed it, but also Jess Hall is the cinematographer. I think he does a brilliant job. He also worked with Matt on WandaVision. He's worked on Serenity. He did Ghost in the Shell as well. And I think he...
Oh, good looking films.
Live action?
Ghost in the Shell live action, yeah.
Never seen it.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it.
Your fault.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it for good reason. But yeah, shout out to Jess Hall because he done really well as a cinematographer, and I'm sure we're going to get into that.
Yeah, for sure. I think everything, a lot of the talk was the retro-futuristic, and it's become like the go-to word that everyone's using, but it's literally what it is. And it really works for me. It immersed me in the world. As Horst mentioned, what I'll talk about it now, the fact that they built some of the sets, for example. They built the Baxter Building apartment. They built Times Square.
Times Square looked incredible.
Yeah. They built Yancey Street, which is like a fictional street in the world, but it's a real... It's like, I think it's called Delinquency Street in New York, which is a real street, which is where Jack Kirby's from and where Ben Grimm is originally from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and also where Ben Grimm in the comic books, in Yankee Street, he gets like bullied like a lot there. And they try to bring it in the Fantastic Four with
2015.
Yeah, but it was ass.
Awful film.
Yeah.
God.
But God. But
is that the third film you guys meant?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
He meant the sequel. So he meant one, two, and then that's three.
Yeah.
But they're obviously not
there's,
like.
There's the three, two. There's the one in 2000. There's the Rising Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
And there's the one Michael B. Jordan. The third one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what you meant. Okay. I thought you meant that there was a third one of the.
No. So yeah, like thingy, Yankee Street, like it's a. It's an important street, especially for Ben
yeah.
Because he gets tormented for essentially leaving the block to go live in the Baxter Building, but it's beautiful how they kind of switched it and made it about the kids being like, oh my god,
I mean, at that point, the universe, they're the world's only protectors, isn't it? So it's like.
But the set build was outstanding, and the whole Jack Kirby and Stan Lee thing was such a sick touch.
Yeah, they used Pinewood Studios, which is like quite a famous studio. It's just outside London.
Yeah,
it's a good studio. They also shot some of it on location. I think they went to Spain.
What?
And they shot some of the Sue Storm's UN. You know when she's doing the Future Foundation?
Yeah.
Some of that is shot in Spain. So a lot of time, care and effort has just gone into building this world and making sure that this is a tangible, lived-in world for the characters. Whereas if you compare that to like an Ant-Man, it just felt, Quantumania I'm talking about, it felt like a flat movie. It didn't feel like the characters were living anywhere or maneuvering anywhere. And this is so completely different. And it actually looked great as well. Just forget the fact that they've retro-futuristic and it's the 60s. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel the same way as well?
Yeah. And I think even just the meaning, like, I think, sorry to keep on going back, but like, I do think that the reason why Superman looks so good, is because there was, as we heard in the Q&A, Gunn said that there was meaning to every building, to every sign, to everything, there was something to it, it was either a reference to the comic books or to the comic book writers or stuff like that. And and it was the same here. Okay, it felt like everything had a certain meaning. There was like parts where I was more concentrated on the surrounding than what was actually going on.
Yeah.
I was trying to just see bits and bobs. Like I think it's better or it's easier to sell a lived-in world. Okay, when things aren't just random.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, talking about every meaning and trying to focus on the background rather than the actual performance per se. I think this is my interpretation of it in terms of like color theory. I'm trying to learn more about color theory within film, just to get an understanding of the importance of different uses of color to associate with different feelings. We get a scene right at the beginning with Johnny and Reed, when I think Johnny comes in asking in terms of like trying to improve the suit so they can go back into space. And in the background, the only colors you really see are blue and red. And I feel like both of the colors are really important within that scene specifically to highlight.
It's actually throughout the film as well,
throughout the whole film. And depending on the scene as well, they have different colors in the background. But for that particular scene, they use the red to highlight Johnny's impulsiveness. And also, essentially, his ambition, because that's what red also is associated with in general. And he was rejected by Reed. and he represented the colour blue.
The antithesis of
and Blue's meant to, he's looked at as something as logical. There's another scene with Reed, a really intimate scene with Vanessa Kirby and Pedro Pascal, when they sit down and look at the baby for the first time, and the colours that we see are yellow, orange and white, and yellow, orange together are meant to, like, some people suggest that it's meant to warmth, hope and things along the line, those lines, and white's meant to showcase purity, in terms of, like, when the new baby coming through. And I think, like, they use that throughout, like, even with the thing walking down what's the street that he walks on?
Yankee Street.
And the background is pretty much like a brownish, very earthy colour that's meant to show realism and grounding, but he's covered in blue, which is also in that setting supposed to showcase, like, somebody that's a bit down. Depressed is a bit going too far, but I feel like the purpose to use colours in the background to highlight different emotions that characters have without trying to tell you what the emotions are, have, but it's trying to show us that you should just feel it. And I feel like that's spotted throughout the whole film, and that's one of the reasons why I went back to watch it again, because I felt that, but I didn't understand why I felt it like that until I went back and watched it and just taking notes. But yeah, man,
just before we get into, like, the actual story, just one other thing with the movie is that I think Matt Shackman said that he wanted to take sort of essence from the 60s era, which was, like, really obsessed with the space race and space exploration and so on and so forth, in tandem with the fact that the Fantastic Four were created in the 60s. And so he did that, and then also used 2001 A Space Odyssey, directed by Stanley Kubrick. And I know you watched that last year. And they wanted to sort of pay homage to that movie with Fantastic Four First Steps as well. I've seen a lot of people saying Interstellar as well as, like, maybe not inspiration per se, but, like, they can see where that might have, you know, played a part in how they created some of those sort of cosmic space scenes as well.
Yeah. But that's definitely 2001 then, because if people are
referencing Interstellar,
for sure. So. And I thought that aspect of the movie looks beautiful, unbelievable. You guys feel free to share your thoughts on that. Before we get into the story, just share.
I swear there was certain scenes where, because there was a pre-warning, right, where it was like there's certain scenes with Galactus that the aspect ratio actually changes.
Yeah,
on screen.
IMAX. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched an IMAX yet.
I did.
IMAX is cold. It's cold.
I might watch it for the first time.
I mean, IMAX has to be the go-to now for most films.
Facts. But one of my tickets got cancelled. Well, it wasn't IMAX, it was on O2. They cancelled it like an hour before I was meant to leave.
Ah, damn.
So then I just ended up going to, about to see where I live, to my locals to watch it.
But again, though, man, the key word here is, like, meaning. Do you know what I mean? It felt like Marvel, or maybe just Shackman, because I saw that he said as well that he was so happy that Feige didn't give him a get to this point type script, where he was like, let me write something that doesn't involve 1,000 characters, you know, that I don't have to bring in XYZ, even though obviously the secret ending, you know, that we'll get to wasn't done by him. It was also the Russo brothers, you know. So he was just happy that he could tell a story without much MCU wider franchise interference, you know.
I think everyone needed that, to be honest.
Yeah. But, like, that should be the way now, right? Or that was the way for I think for a lot of Phase 2, as in, like, when you've got, like, Doctor Strange and Black Panther, blah, blah, blah. Like, these films, okay, were very much their own films, you know, and it's what, you know, gave people, like, a lot of confidence going into Infinity War and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Whereas after that, we didn't get that anymore. So we got, like, a lot of stories that had to be very much tied to the blip and to whatever, you know, et cetera, even the fucking series, you know.
I think the movies is less the issue in terms of continuity. It's asking people to go from movies to TV shows and then back to
TV. Yeah.
Because people will happily spend maybe a time in the cinema 3 months apart and then go and watch the next movie. So, for example, in Thor Ragnarok, I think we have Doctor Strange appear in the movie. That was fine because we've seen Strange before. People have gone to the cinema to see that rather than asking someone to go watch Miss Marvel. No disrespect to Miss Marvel, because I think the series was okay. But you're asking people to then go to Miss Marvel, to then go
to the Marvels, yeah.
And it's tough. It's asking a lot for people to commit that amount of time to characters.
It's true. But that's why it's good that it was a very individualistic film. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, back to your point in terms of, like, some inspiration being taken from 2001 Odyssey. I am a sucker for anything space related. Without that, really? Be a sucker. Interstellar, the Martian. What's the film?
Arrival.
But that's the one I was thinking of. Arrival. There's another one. I can't remember. But I'm a sucker for anything.
Did you watch what's the thing that we saw this year or last year? Alien.
I haven't seen it. I literally started watching this series from beginning to end.
I mean, this is a good film.
I think I'm on the third film.
It's a good film.
But,
you'll like it just because of David Johnson, though.
Yeah. That's the main reason why I want to watch it. Michael, don't be weird as well. Anyways, with the space aspect of it, there's a shot when they are on the ship and you can see the nebula in the background and you see... Vanessa Kirby, Sue Storm, obviously about to give birth, and she's like floating.
Yeah.
And then you see Nebula in the background. I think that's like probably my favorite shot of the film.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. And obviously the symbolism of them going from one part of the galaxy to another at the exact same time that she's giving birth. I love that symbolism within the film as well.
And the fact that technically Franklin was born in space.
Not technically, he was.
Yeah, and he hasn't got a birthday. Have you deeped that? Because they were in a time space,
one time zone too.
Yeah, so they spent a month out there when obviously it was supposed to be like a day or two. Do you know what I mean? So it's honestly, bro, it was so well thought out and beautiful shots. Okay, and the panic and everything, like it was almost like the space part of it was so calm.
Yeah.
And like inside was a crazy, like, you know, hectic thing. Even in that shot, it was like. You just stop.
Silence, yeah.
I think we're kind of zigzagging because we haven't even talked about the main cast yet, but because we're talking about the space part of the movie, Julia Garner as Silver Surfer.
Oi.
And it's only...
No, I agree.
I herald.
she smoked the role, man. That space sequence is one of the best Marvel scenes that I think I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
The one with the
surfing.
I think from the very moment they attack Galacticus... right up to
Galactus,
right up to the point they end up back in their own galaxy. Chef's kiss, bro.
Yeah.
Such an enthralling scene. It's full of tension. You've got the fact that Sue is pregnant at the time, which is a topic I'll get into in a second because I think they did some really cool stuff with her. But it's full of tension, and you actually don't know what's going to happen at that particular moment, whether she's going to catch them or not. They built such an interesting relationship between her and Johnny from the get-go, which spans throughout the movie. I've seen people criticising the ending, we'll get there, but they built that relationship. Even though it's not necessarily massively tied, it's a continuous theme throughout
the movie. It's beautiful.
And I think they did really well with that, but I think she was great. And that space sequence,
one of the best things that they've done for her is that...
Is that Shalabao, yeah? Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer. That she did not get a lot of dialogue.
Okay.
Like, I think, because to your point about keeping that tension, you know, I mean, Silver Surfer, the character, was never a man of, or a woman, I guess, depending on which iteration, of a lot of words. But the way she came in, so, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, stoic.
Yeah, whatever.
Then, you know, just keeping it short and sweet to the point, and then just being able to just silently just fucking hunt you down.
The thing is,
she kept coming back.
She kept coming back.
That's because she was in pain, though. Like, she's not doing things because she wants to.
No, she's not doing it because she wants to. But, like, I guess the vibe in terms of, like, how menacing she was, it gave me vibes. Not saying exactly like that, but of... what's the actor's name from... No Country of Old Men.
Javier Bardem.
Yes, kind of like that silent, kind of like unstoppable force that will come and get you no matter what you try to do. Yeah, like, and you know, they just gave her the right amount of dialogue and she smoked it, man. Like the effects that they've done on her voice to just kind of like boost her up. And
she did surfboarding lessons prior.
Yeah,
and they had a instructor on set to teach her like different moves, and I think you can just see the little details.
Shadow's
character in the comic books is a complex character because obviously there's two servers, right? Like traditionally there's obviously the Lauren Rand who we get in
Rise of the Silver Surfer.
And that's like for, I would say, like 70-80% of most comics, he's
the main
iteration that we see, right? But he is the Herald, because obviously he's now protecting his planet. Ever he gets, you know, touched with the Power Cosmic to then be the Silver Surfer. So then Galactus doesn't go and destroy his world, right? And in that storyline, okay, like he doesn't go and destroy his wife and kids, okay, who shot the bolt, right? In this one, in what's so funny is that in the opposite story, okay, when Charlotte is the Silver Surfer, she's protecting her husband. They don't have kids. Whereas they changed it where she has a kid.
And no husband,
which I thought was a genius move, because it now ties directly to Sue's problem, you know, and to feed their problem, that like she is doing this, okay, for her kid and obviously for her child, you know what I mean? And I think why it was so interesting, the relationship, okay, between Charlotte and
Johnny,
yeah, and Johnny Storm, was because in the comic books, like Galactus has a few heralds over time, and one of them is Johnny. Do you know what I mean? Okay, there is a point where he's gonna eat Earth, and he's won. He's killed everyone else. He's won. And then Johnny goes, "I'll be a herald." Do you know what I mean? And then takes the over. So when we got the tease for the whole film that Johnny was gonna sacrifice himself, or you know, he said, "Yo, take me," and blah blah blah. You know, that's all like from the comics. You know, and I thought that was such a nice touch, man, because he was, and we don't see that side of Johnny in any iteration that we've seen. I actually think he was a perfect mixture of like mischievous but also smart, which we also rarely see. He's actually a good scientist.
The one thing I appreciate the most, because I feel like with all of the iterations that we've got, even with the original run and whatnot, like Johnny was always seen as just the playboy, like nothing more than that. But when you really deep it, like this guy's a flipping astronaut. Like,
no, he's a smart kid, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's not just a fucking, you know.
Whatever. I think that plays into one of the conversations that I've had with people just around film as a whole and TV shows. Do you want to see the same thing that you've seen before?
No.
In a different way. So do you want to see Batman be Batman like you saw him in The Dark Knight and like you saw him in Batman versus Superman? Or do you want to see something that you've never seen before, which brings you a different understanding of the character? Same thing with live action to animation. Do you want to see how I've not seen How to Train Your Dragon, but people are like, oh, it's a remake of the same thing, and they're complaining, and other people are like, well, I'm glad it's a refresh of something I've never seen before. And I think sometimes it's just nice to be able to get like a different take on a character. It's the same thing with Pedro to an extent. It's not, Pedro doesn't give you the read that we've seen before, or the comic book read, but he gives you elements of that while still putting, I guess, himself into the character. Man, I saw you mention that you were a bit unsure.
About Pedro. Oh, yeah.
I said that he was, out of the four, he was my least accomplishing. But
accomplishing?
As in, for his role. Okay. But I'm going to let Finn go first. Go.
This was prior to watching the film. I was very, essentially a bit confused at the fact that Pedro Pascal was casted as Reed Richards. I didn't see him as Reed Richards at all in any iteration of Reed Richards that I've come across. It didn't scream Pedro Pascal to me. So when he was casted as him, I was very much confused. Like, I think he's a great actor. I loved everything that he's done. 5 minutes into the film, I was like, I'm a fool. Why did I ever question you? Pedro Pascal will do a good job in any position that you do. I get that his version of Reed is not the same as others, but I'm glad for it. It suited his character, it suited the world that he was in,
yeah,
it suited the relationships that he had with Sue, Thing, and with Johnny. I don't think this version of Reed would have worked well in the original Fantastic Four film. It definitely would not have worked well in the Fantastic Four version.
Forget that film.
Yeah, forget it. It actually shouldn't exist.
yeah, that's why I was so confused. I've genuinely forgot it existed.
It's literally bottom three comic book films I've ever seen in my life.
It's horrible.
It's awful
what
film.
What ended with Doom was so bad.
Awful film. Bro, anyways. Yeah, so I was unsure about him until I watched the film.
Smashed it, though.
And he cooked, man. He done so well. And especially him and Vanessa Kirby together.
She was the GOAT.
She cooked the best
form.
She cooked.
Yeah, she 100%. There's this scene.
I don't know, man.
One thing about Pedro Pascal's character as Reed Richard, he's selfish. he's a very selfish guy, and I think like
very to the like
he doesn't think about emotions. He doesn't think about
it's logic.
The humanity of it.
It's the numbers and the
it's
facts.
It's the numbers and the facts. And when I rewatched it, I didn't deep as much until that scene of him obviously building by Times Square. So my guy Galactus comes and steps on it, and Thing asks him, which direction is he coming from? And he's like, I don't know, he could be coming from anywhere.
Yeah.
And he took the thing to say, but bro, there's people here. Like, if he comes from any direction, he'll be like destroying people and killing people. And it had to be the thing to be like, oh, so we have to, it had to be the thing to bring it up. And then it had to be Sue to be like, okay, I have a plan.
She's the emotional leader.
Yeah.
The emotional leader.
Reed didn't,
Taking into account
or even contributed to anything regarding the safety of people because he's selfish. And even the situation with him getting trading or using his son as bait,
he had planned it from
as soon as he saw the child, he realized that that's what he needs to do. And the conversation with Sue is like, oh no, I haven't thought of it. Yes you have. And then the scene that I love is when he's walking towards her and she's like, I know. She screams and vanishes. I think that is a performance in such a little time. I think she cooked. But yeah, I think Pedro Pascal's Reed Richards is really selfish. And I think Pedro played it so well, especially if from our perception of who Pedro is as a person. Like, he seems like a really kind person. Mm. A really kind person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He played the complete opposite of himself.
So him being, like, being very selfish, but still trying to come across as, I'm doing it for the sake of everybody, when really and truly you're just playing the numbers game and trying to use the logical answer rather than using humanity as a forefront. But I think he could.
I think if anything though, what that plays into is how good he was, because it's a subtlety. Yeah. Selfishness Facts. Isn't in your face. It's only if you're actually really paying attention to Facts. Some of the minor exactly. details. Like, you could see from early, not Pedro, and I've done this a lot, Reed knew what he was doing and he planned that from early. But there's a little stoicness to it where it's like, maybe he didn't, but if you're watching, you know that he had planned that for money. And it speaks, absolutely. I guess it speaks to his character as well, as in that's who Reed is, right?
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And it speaks to what Sue says to him as well, when he says, oh, he says something on the lines of, or sometimes I don't like the way that I am, the way that I think. And Sue's like, me neither. Sometimes I don't like who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks a lot. And their conflict makes me like so excited to see how their relationship develops in future films. But yeah.
But it's like, what,
I guess to add a little bit more.
No, go get your hate off because you didn't
like it. I won't.
No, well, suit your chest.
No, I just didn't.
He challenged you now, so yeah, you have to.
I will say this much, right? I didn't think that they had great chemistry. I think at points. I think at points, like to your point about like the whole I know, I think that was a great performance. But I think throughout the majority of the film, I thought Pedro was probably the weakest part out of me for me.
One second. I'm so sorry. I have to cut off because you're a piece of shit. Okay. but the whole point is that, like, the reason why they have chemistry is because they're not supposed to seem like they have chemistry. Do you understand? Okay, because she is the emotional smart one in the relationship.
No, I get that. That I just don't think it was that good of a performance.
Okay,
like, that is all I have to say to that. I just don't think it's that good of a performance.
I said to Kizza, okay, like, out of out of the four, okay, people, as in the F4, I actually think that if you are a general watcher, okay, I actually think that you might think that Pedro had the weakest performance. And by the way, I say weakest in regards to it was still a good performance.
He held back.
It's not awful. I'm not saying he's awful.
But
why I use the word weakest.
But I think, yeah, that Bruce Wayne / Batman is the most in-depth or depthful character in comic book history. Mm. Okay, I think you can do so much with that role and play it in a variety of ways. Okay, Reed Richards for me is in the top five of that. Okay, because it's not as simple as just playing a role, or like if you're saying playing somebody, you know, narcissistic and obviously a fucking genius or blah, blah, blah. But the whole plotline of who Doom is, who Victor Von Doom is because he hates Reed so much, right? That he'll never be as like smart as him or beat him. Whereas,
or stoic or as anything.
Yeah. Or yeah, and obviously he's got the girl and the kid and all of that stuff, okay. But Reed doesn't appreciate what he has. He doesn't know what he has without his family, without Sue and Johnny and Ben, right? So to play that character, okay, you have to play somebody that is so powerful, right? But doesn't realize how he's affecting everybody around him, from his wife all the way to Doom. Like, Doom is that evil because of Reed. Reed doesn't even know. He doesn't even clock, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. Do you know how narcissistic and insane you have to be to create a supervillain that can destroy everything, and you don't even know, bro?
I was also gonna say, did you not like feel like? So I know probably on purpose, but he was kind of emotionless like throughout the film, and then like, you know, when he,
that's not easy to do, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. But there were parts where like they asked him about like, oh, so what did Galactus want? And then you can see when that he asked for a price too high. Like already there, you could see emotion coming into him. Like, oh my god, there's something actually there. And then at the end when Sue is, yeah, he's like,
I believed it.
I was like, bro, like that emotion that he showed there, I was like, rah, contrary to what we saw, like, at the beginning of the film, of how he held himself, like, bro, Pedro Cook, man.
No,
you know what Jason's doing? Jason's doing what me and Huss did with Superman.
I don't know, man.
That's what he's doing.
I gotta say.
He's doing the bit.
Do you know,
I don't know.
Do you know even the price is too high thing? Okay, I saw someone break back down because it cuts to Sue like immediately after and it was almost like they were saying that like Sue was upset that he used that terminology. Mm. Okay, the price is too high. It's like, why?
I was trying to say, my kid,
yeah, my kid is not like there's no price, fam. Yeah. Right, so like and but it's it obviously also also plays into what you said, that like it's all about numbers for him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Okay, even
mathematical, ethical, available.
Exactly. So it's a tough one there. And then when they go and see Galactus, right, you can see all his logic go out the window, because now he's just like, fuck, like, yo, what are we beefing now? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know what is.
It's
going
kind of
on.
Tony Stark's when he sees the Chitauri for the first time. He goes up and he's like,
oh, and he's like, shit. Oh shit, yeah.
It's like a oh wow, it's like a oh wow moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Sue Storm, Vanessa Kirby, I thought she was great as well.
Best.
I think it's the best depiction of the character, which isn't necessarily saying much, but I think the character had layers. She is the leader of the Future Foundation. Yeah. She's got her own personal agency. She's the emotional leader of the group. She's the one that brought Franklin to life, for example. I don't think the film necessarily dived into the powers of the characters as much as previous iterations, but you still get to see how powerful Sue Storm is, especially the fact that her pregnancy and her love for her child and the love a mother can have for her child sort of spurs on how powerful she gets to be in the final act of the film when she takes on Galactus. And I think that was such a very, it's a nice touch to show motherhood is a power in of itself. And Matt Shackman as a man, it's interesting that he's tapping into those ideas, because he did the same thing with WandaVision, tapping into how a mother's love for her child can be a force of power, and it's one of the most powerful things in the world.
Speaking of power, like she was definitely the best iteration of how to see what her power does or is. Okay, I thought that I haven't obviously studied color theory, okay, but like I thought it was super interesting, okay, that like all of her tectonic, you know, pushing and all of that stuff, was kind of like a light blue purple and gray
like
tone.
Prismatic.
Yeah. And like, she controlled her powers the best in any version that I've ever seen Sue Storm, which made me appreciate what she can and she can't do. I feel like when you know someone's like full abilities, when they're not doing anything, they almost feel as powerful. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Okay, because you're waiting for them to get involved. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and like she was the only criticism that I would have on her, and you know what? Not even her. Okay, probably just like the writing, was the relationship between her and Johnny Storm. It's like, that's your brother, and I didn't see much of it there. Okay, I saw it in the moments when everybody was there, but I didn't see it much.
They gave us one scene.
The scene
when he was doing the research. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would like to have seen more of that.
They did say that people that were complaining that it should have been like 20 minutes
long. They chopped out loads of stuff.
Yeah.
They definitely did.
I hear that, but I'm also very grateful.
There wasn't.
That it, yeah. But like, I just wanted to see at the end, okay, there's a scene. I forgot where it was, okay, guys. Okay, but he talks about how he's saving his nephew, and you know, and blah blah. And obviously, but at that point, we've seen Ben with the kid a lot more than Johnny. Than you're saying, Johnny, right? And then at the same time,
anyone else, really?
Yeah, and then if we're not getting Sue and Johnny, that scene is not as emotional as it should be. That's what I'm saying. Okay, it should be a lot more emotional.
That's fair.
Do you know what I'm saying? So like, that's one of the criticisms there. But again, that's probably on the writing.
It's not, a writing thing. Yeah. Or what they've taken out of the movie that would have been there.
Facts.
Like an extra scene or two would have made that scene a bit more.
Facts. Facts. No, and that was
that scene that they had together was really good.
It was so good. Yeah. It was so good, man.
Because you can see how happy he was to. Because he made her proud and he was really happy about that.
Exactly, man. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. That's
and that plays into, in terms of the chopping board anyway, or the chopping floor. Ebon Moss Backrack plays the thing, and I think I thought he was great as well. You can see where they've taken out some of his story. You can see where the story with Natasha Lyonne's character, I forgot the character's name.
Not Rachel.
It is Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel
Ross. It is Rachel. Which, by the way, she's an original character.
Okay.
So they took it out. So Kerry's one from thingy. They made her an original character, okay, because they thought that it would be offensive to have a blind person only be attracted to the thing.
Fair.
Because they were like, well, that's not the
Kerry Washington
point of this.
The first one, right?
Yeah, Kerry Washington.
Yes,
yeah,
but she plays a comic book accurate person.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. You know,
you're laughing at black women.
That's amazing, hey, Jason, why is it so funny?
Huh?
Why are you laughing so hard?
I'm not. I'm laughing at Jason.
You're playing the Basola role.
I have to hold it down. So
I thought he was great, though, and I would have just liked to have seen more great. Of him, more of his powers, just more of him as a character. But there's time for that. You've got Galactus, you've got Silver Surfer, you've got Reed Richards. Yeah,
But I can't lie. When he hit the building down, okay, that's a genius move because he was like holding on to the building, which by the way is nuts. He was holding a building like a bench. Yeah. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Using it as a leverage to come over.
It doesn't just show me that he's strong, but that he's smart as fuck as well. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he just went and
again, they're all fucking astronauts.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
What I like love about Benedict, okay, is that every time he does something like a thing, okay, where he's like smashing something, blah blah blah, he's talking like he was screaming like oh. Hold on, Reed. Hold on, Sue. Come for you now. Da, da, da. Like, it felt like a comic book film or like a comic book strip.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Okay, because he was so like communicative. Animated. Yeah, but like obviously, Reed, the scene where I think his best fighting scene, okay, was when he gets on the back of Galactus, okay, and pulls his thing, yeah. And I was like, oh, sick movie, yeah. But he doesn't say a word. Like he doesn't say like a word, but like
no catchphrase. Just
bang, but yeah. I felt so immersed in what the thing was doing. You know what I mean? And
that's fair. Everyone
must
backwork.
He was incredible.
Yeah,
he's actually a really talented actor.
He's so good.
Shout out to Cousin. Cousin. He's a really good actor.
Oh, from The Bear.
Yeah, from The Bear. We've already spoken about Johnny, haven't we?
I want to talk about a scene with Johnny.
Just win.
He was probably my least favorite out of the four.
Interesting.
Really? Yeah,
interesting.
But he was still really good. And I think that's a bit harsh on him because I feel like we got a lot of Johnny scenes in it. So there's more room for criticism. There's more to pick out in terms of Johnny. I could have watched the film through his perspective and still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because he's involved in so much. The one scene that is probably the biggest letdown is when he has the scene with Shalabao and he's playing all the recordings.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I just don't think he hit the emotional beats as well as he should have. Like really? Like when he was talking
so
to her.
You like the meaning of it, but just
no. I like the scene. I think Joseph Quinn. Performing specifically in that scene, I didn't love. I was a bit disappointed, if I'm being honest.
Wow. Okay.
I feel like I like the scene, but I feel like
I agree with you.
It just didn't hit. It should have hit for me a lot more than it actually did. Guys, look at me so shocked right now.
Yeah.
No, I didn't really agree with you. I agree with you.
Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I told you before that I walked out of there with Joseph Kumar. Like, then again, I don't think I'm a big fan of his in general. So I think that's a little bit of bias playing. Like. I don't hate him, but I'm just I see him, I'm just never sold like that with what he's doing.
I think he's a very good actor, but I think like
I'm glad it. He smokes.
He's good at it.
I think I don't know. Maybe I have the opposite effect because like I didn't have many expectations of him, so the bar was quite low. Mm. But like he kind of like set.
And I think that scene was more. I hear you, so I'm not saying like I completely disagree.
Well. I hear you as well.
I think that scene is more about.
Julia Garner.
I watched it from her perspective, maybe rather than holistically the whole scene, because I was more intrigued by how
Shivri's reacting.
Yeah. And I think maybe if I watch it again.
Yeah. I think it's just his deliverance of the lines is what I just don't love. I feel like it should have been a bit more emotive for me. That's my only criticism.
It just wasn't like a statement for you.
Yeah, it didn't. It should have hit. I think that's such a big moment in the film. And I feel like his part should have hit a little bit more. But it's not like a big criticism because I think he done well. And also, I feel like he had to carry quite a lot of the film in ways that other characters...
Subtly, though, as well.
Yeah.
Underlying rather than in
the face. Rather in the face in the same way that Pedro and Vanessa's characters had to. I feel like he had a lot to do throughout the film. So my criticism on him is a bit harsh in comparison to the others.
No, it's still valid.
It's still something. Yeah, but he done well. Like, I really... Like, when I watched the second time, I was like, bro, I really enjoy you. I liked him a lot more.
You want to see more?
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. I love the language stuff that they did with Shalabao.
Yeah.
Because then it's just world building again.
Even having him to do something in the film, when we liked it. Okay, I'm going to talk about these rubbish films. Well, one rubbish film and two okay ones. The versions of Johnny especially in the first one, is so bad. It's like it feels like a it doesn't feel like a nuanced character at all. Chris Evans one in the very one dimensional. It's very very one dimensional, bro.
That's what people wanted. They were like, I want cocky Johnny Storm, and it's
dead.
But you still got cocky Johnny Storm in Joseph Quinn, in my opinion.
We did.
I think it was a good mix.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like the Chris Evans one, bro, you're astronaut, they're playing you like a bimbo. Like, how does that make any sense?
Like,
how does that make any sense?
I think it's of the times.
Facts.
I do think though, like,
it's definitely off the times.
Yeah, definitely off the times. But what I want to say is, like, a lot of iterations of the Fantastic Four do play Johnny Storm as this kind of like male bimbo and whatnot. Like, even the cartoons back in the day, like,
but the cartoon ones, they give him a lot more nuance than this, because he's not stupid.
He's not stupid. But like, I think the largest characteristic of his
is that he loves me. Yeah.
Playboy bimbo kind of guy. Like, they always show him to be, oh, he's not as smart,
but he was still impulsive, but just in different ways. Okay, so the surfer first gets there, and then he reads like, yo, where are you going? Okay, and then also in the second time as well, when she smashes the portal things, okay,
yeah, and then knocking everything down, he's gone. Yeah,
if he's gone, okay, if he Reed goes, yo, where are you going? Okay, so he's still impulsive.
I'm not saying that's not a bad thing, because he obviously is impulsive, but I think what this film does so well as compared to any other is they make him as capable as the rest of them.
Yeah, facts, bro, like, which I rate.
But you know what I liked, what they did, the rest of the team don't see it. They don't recognize
him.
They kind of downplay him.
They downplay him
until he actually proves his worth.
Yeah.
I think which is why he did the language thing and whatnot. Why, like, when.
And he's always trying to prove himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make a comment about, like, setting the tone. I think each character had a scene, okay, where they set the exact tone, okay, for what their kind of, like, arc was.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was following a Fantastic Four arc. I feel like it was four separate arcs, which I thought was fucking incredible. And like, I feel like with an Avengers film, it's not separate arcs. It's like one goal, one mission.
Is it not though? Think about Infinity War. I'm being basic at the point.
Infinity War and Endgame. When I talk about like I say Avengers film, those do not count. They are behemoth of.
You're talking about the first one in Age of Ultron.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I get what you mean then. Like I the first Avengers film, they spend so much time building this like untensioned chemistry with, like, you know, everybody, but then the overall like arc is that they're all now a fucking
team
and blah blah blah. Okay, safe. And then Age of Ultron is almost
the same thing,
exact same thing, okay, but just with new
characters.
Yeah, but it's the exact same thing.
It's a good movie.
No, it's a great film. Okay, so
great villain.
So but when we started getting the individual arcs, was like Winter Soldier, the Civil Wars, okay, blah, blah blah. Like these films, okay, it was about as much as the individual storylines as just the wider story. F4, I generally thought that it was going to be just an F4 arc. But I'm so glad that they all set their own tone. Even Galactus and Shalabar. Like, they had their own arcs, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I saw an interview yesterday with Jennifer, sorry, what
Julia Garner.
Julia Garner,
okay.
I was gonna say Jennifer as well.
So, right? And she said, okay, that
I think
like
Jennifer Garner, though.
Yeah, same. Yeah, yeah.
Different actress.
She said, okay, oh, that her first
snob man.
She said, okay, that her first day on set, yeah, was doing that scene. Was doing the Times square scene. She said that she was on like a massive crane, okay, standing on a surfboard that they mic'd up to these massive speakers, okay, and she had to just deliver that speech. Yeah. And she said, okay, that thingy, Shackman, made her do that, okay, to set the tone for everything, right? It was like, we need people to know what situation in, the extras, the main cast, everybody has to feel like that this is life and death.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Right. Okay. Yeah, and just the intention from Shackman to do that, to shoot the first scene, the middle scene, I thought was such a smart move. You know what I mean? Okay. But yeah, I just it was lovely for me that all of them had their individual journeys, and I feel like going into a Doomsday or Secret Wars or blah blah blah, it makes me excited to see them interact with also other characters, not as the F4, but just as themselves in different pieces.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I also kind of don't. I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm interested by it. I actually do want to see it, but I also, give me another F4 film in like 2 years' time or 3 years' time. Give me another F4
bro, like,
in their world.
No,
or whatever.
You're their absolutely world. Right. But
no, I do hear you. I do hear you.
I've seen like a Pedro talk to Fini, Doom, Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
About like a situation.
About science and we'll get magic and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting conversation.
Speaking of Doom, that post-credit scene.
We're
going to have to put a pin on that in a bit. We'll get to it.
Two things I want to talk about before we maybe go to the end of the movie. Maybe three. We have to try and be quick. The first one is the family feel. I like the fact that you could feel there was so much love, care and tenderness, but there was also a lot of tension.
Yeah.
My issue is, I don't think that... I think there was a lot of conflict resolution that came too quickly. Especially with... Pedro, with Reed and Sue. And now, I think that's due to the pacing being quite like
it was
sharp. Yeah, like the film just goes boom, 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 boom. But you didn't really get to sit with the tension long enough for me. I think their situation was resolved a bit too quickly for me. But again, it's more...
Even the wider aspects, like when they have the conference and then kind of like the people are revolting and then Vanessa will...
Sue goes down to speak to them,
gives them one... in my opinion, corny, but whatever, speech, and all of a sudden...
Oh, but you like Superman corny, yeah?
There's a difference. There is an absolute difference, because...
I'm a hater, don't worry.
In that... no, the reason why I do think it's different is that, like, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just a personality thing, but the whole speech about, like, this...
My child? And I love my child, and
I love my child.
Still going to look after you.
Like, okay, I'm thinking of it from the context of the people, in the sense of like, okay, if I'm out here protesting because these men won't give up their child for the world, it's like,
but
okay,
we said we'll protect you.
But they've been doing that in the context of the world. They've been doing that for X amount of years, right? So I should have that trust as a citizen to know that whatever they're going to do is going to...
But I like the fact the city sort of revolted.
But no, so do I. But I hate how quickly it was resolved with just one speech. She was just like, hold on, let me just go pattern them these men.
No, but she said, we're still going to fight for you. She didn't just say, oh, we're done.
No. She
also,
like,
doesn't that then go into what you're just saying now? Because like, they reassure you like, yo, we've always handled everything for you, so we're going to handle it again.
Literally, the next day, they had a plan.
I think that's why the resolution came quickly, because historically they have protected them, and now and before that they didn't have a plan how to protect them, but now they got a plan. They were like,
I don't know. It just felt a little bit quick for me when they said like the amount of people that they were protesting, and then just one speech. I'm just like, oh, I don't know, man. I feel like we could have sat in this, like to your point, like
because it's the point that I made as well. So I was just hating.
Do you know, I also love the fact that the plan that they had for like Reed, okay, and I think what is very difficult about Reed Richards and his plans, because he's always got plans, blah blah blah, right? The most difficult thing, okay, is making them relatable to a like a wider audience, okay? Because like we've said loads of times now, okay, where like there's obviously comic book films, okay, where even though it's a comic book film, just what they're doing just doesn't seem realistic enough.
In the cinema, as he's like, yo, we're gonna teleport over here, I'm thinking, isn't that gonna like, you know, mess up like the sun, the way that we
But then he adjusted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Okay, it was as real as it could be.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Okay, yeah. So like
we still have to have a suspension of disbelief, but like they
exactly.
did their best to.
Bro, he said everybody curfew 8 p.m. fam. Okay, did you get me? Which okay, to
I
save energy.
My favorite kind it was of like, so, section of the film.
Come on, bro. Yeah. Like, that's such a Reed move.
Like getting the world to work together. Like the whole theme of the film of the oh, we should all love each other. I'm like, I was super on board with that. I was
yeah,
like,
bro, yeah. same.
And Sue Storm being a key part of that was a nice touch.
Because she
the,
is
she was the leader.
She is the unspoken thing.
Yeah, I mean, she's the leader. World's leader.
I think that speaks to like different forms of leadership, though, right? You can have like in football, you have your technical leader, who's Harry Kane. He's your goal scorer. He's highly technical. He's going to score goals, make passes.
Are you calling her Jordan Henderson?
She's Hendo, fam.
Hey.
She's Hendo.
Then you have your club captain as well.
Yeah.
Liverpool's greatest captain.
Yeah, and I think different forms of leadership. I think it works well. I think it speaks to how also Pedro man Reed as a character can't see beyond, as you mentioned, facts and figures and science and math rather than what makes sense emotionally. Yeah. And I think that's where Sue Storm comes in and plays a huge role.
Complements
the kind of
human aspect of it all and whatnot.
The way that, don't react, the way that Reed Richards sees the whole thing reminds me of iRobot.
When, okay.
Why Will Smith hates robots.
Herbie was great, by the way, speaking of robots.
Yeah, Kobe was good.
Herbie was great, by the way.
Nice.
No, they built Herbie practically as well.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, puppetry and practical. Yeah, they built Herbie.
Yeah, that was inspired by iRobot as well, wasn't it?
And they built the fantastic car as well. Fantastic car.
Fantastic car.
Yeah, they built like a fully sized version and a smaller version and digitalized it. And
nice. But
yeah, really cool stuff. Galactus, then Mole Man, and then we'll talk about the end. Galactus for me, so impressive.
Yeah.
And then, again, time, care, effort's gone into bringing this to life. Ralph Ineson is the perfect casting.
His voice, by the way, like his real normal voice.
Oh, it's scary.
It's the perfect casting. Weird. It's the perfect casting for that.
Yeah.
And then they just amplified it. They built like the costume for him. And then I think they used Mount Rushmore as like a scale for how big they wanted Galactus to be.
Really? That's nice.
And then they just sort of digitalized it and scaled it up afterwards. But, really, really cool stuff. I thought he was great, man.
Also, he's a fan of the comics.
Oh,
right?
That's cool.
Yeah. So like, I saw like a few interviews with him where he was like, this is my favorite role. He was, and
I like when an actor like wants to be in.
Oh my god, same, yeah. And he also they asked him, how's it feel, whatever, playing this role, da, da, da. And then he was like, I've never been happier. Like, I'm playing Galactus. Like, how incredible is that? Like, and then he was like referencing the comic books and that kind of stuff. And I was like, that is so sick, man. And he said that like a lot of people in the Doomsday cast, okay, he goes that Danny Jr. and like, you know, these people, they have a lot of comic books like surrounding them, okay, where
Robert, he don't stop posting them.
Yeah. And he said that like he didn't feel weird as like a 50-year-old guy or whatever, just picking one up, okay, and finding out so much more, referencing his character, you know. And he said that every time he read something, he felt more in love with it. Do you know what I mean? But and he's a Leeds fan, right?
Would make sense with the accent.
Yeah. He said that in his trailer, he had on like the Leeds flags on and that kind of stuff, because he was like, I couldn't believe he couldn't believe that he was there.
Coming from where he comes from.
Yeah.
From Leeds. So,
and I just thought, yo, that's incredible, man. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And his voice really is just striking.
Yeah, they made him look great. More so the sort of Cosmo scenes rather than, I still think they did a really good job when they brought him to New York.
Oh, for sure.
But that when he was sitting in his seat and that
my God.
Unbelievable.
Like when they scaled him like next to the Fantastic Four to show how huge, and I guess symbolism wise as well, it's like, you know, this new problem that they're facing is so beyond their scale of
anything they've seen before.
And like how, to an extent, almost insignificant that they are to him and whatnot. I really do like how they...
We just want your baby, yeah. What was you going to say, Manny?
I would have struggled to see how they would have done a good job in terms of like just having somebody of Galactus' size in a film like this.
Make him a cloud, why not?
Yeah. What is it?
Make him a cloud.
Make him a cloud.
So I'm really impressed that they've done such a great job with him. It's still meaningful, like, very menacing.
They gave him a backstory. Even though it's not the most in-depth, we still got to know why he does what he does.
Actually, I just want to talk about the backstory as well, okay? Because, like, he's one of my, like, favourite, like, celestial beings, okay? Like, ever, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because he doesn't do what he does to kill people or for
hate, the world eater,
or for anything. He's almost like Reed here, okay, where he's just really doing it, okay, because it's for the balance of the universe, right? One of my favorite comic books ever, okay, it's like Fantastic Four, like 400 and something, okay, whatever it was, but they actually kill him, okay, they kill Galactus, and then the universe goes out of balance, like complete out of balance, okay, because what he was doing here was actually very much fucking thing needed, right? So then they actually end up using the power cosmic from Franklin, okay, to bring him back to life, which is insane. But it tells you there that, like, he is not like an evil being, you know. It's just that he's doing this, okay, because he has to do what he's been asked to do for the rest of eternity.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But and him obviously wanting Franklin, okay, is so then he can just stop and just be, and just be in this universe until wherever he's called upon Franklin to take over. But yeah, he's a lot more in depth than we think he is.
Yeah,
for sure, man. What did you guys think of the ending and just the, and also within that, maybe Jason, you can go. The including Franklin Richards at this point is a big, like, it's a big thing to do. Because he's probably most powerful mutant, if not one of the most powerful mutants. So bringing that kind of character in at this point is a big thing to do. And what did you make, I guess, of the use of Franklin as the emotional arc or the emotional aspect of the story?
I mean, so I'll be real. Like, as in terms of, like, the lore of Fantastic Four, I never got that far to the point that they had a kid or even know what Franklin's about. So I don't even... No,
he's super powerful, man.
Yeah, like I don't know how powerful he is, but I think as, I guess, like an emotional linchpin, really, for not just Reed and Sue, but like the entire film as a whole, is, I think it's almost a brave move, if that makes sense. Not brave might be a little bit too much, but I think when you're displaying a family, especially the first comic book family and whatnot, right? What better way is it to put a baby in there to really showcase how much this family cares about each other and to explain the wider themes of family with Charlotte Bauer as well? Like, she's doing it for not necessarily, well, for her world, but also for her own daughter, and per se, to your point where you said earlier as well, to showcase the power of motherhood, like what she will do, like, you know, Sue Wen, you know, in overdrive when she saw that Franklin was in Galactus's hand, and then she was able to push him,
summon
kind of like this insane power, which kind of like goes to show with how powerful we've seen Galactus, how much more, I guess, the power of love, to be, I guess, really, really corny.
No, that's not corny.
Can be. And
Franklin he plays a key role.
My second favorite scene of the film was with Reed Richards, which I think was Pedro Pascal's best moment, where...
This is when you believed him, yeah?
This is where I genuinely believed him, where he's scanning his son, right, for any anomalies by himself. And then he kind of like... I think it was in that scene where he leans in and he goes...
He's talking to him, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yo, I don't want you to be anything like me, but like, you know...
If you've got some powers, let me know now. Yeah, that was cold, man.
Like, because I think to your guys' point, like, where he's usually super cold, logical and whatnot, but in moments he drops his guard. I think that is where I saw
him being vulnerable.
To be a dad.
Yeah, that's where I saw him, like, super clear, whereas, like, he does love his child. Well, I mean,
obviously. Hey, if you're a mutant, let me know, bro. Just whisper in my ear.
Yeah, just tell me, man.
But you know, just on Franklin Zorka, like, his importance in, like, the wider multiverse is so key and so powerful. Like, a lot of celestial beings or eternal beings, okay, that kind of stuff, they kind of, like, destroy or not destroy, but like they kind of like get rid of a lot of multiverse to keep everything, you know, in balance, obviously, for TVA and blah blah blah. Whereas like Franklin's powers, okay, are actually based around he can actually like create whole universes. That's his power. That's his biggest power, that he can make whole universes. The theory is that after Feige's interview 2 weeks ago with Variety, where he was saying how after Secret Wars there'll be a singular timeline, you know, and that they'll kind of go back to individualistic stories, and a lot of time will be reset almost.
Okay? Direct corner.
Yes, yes. The theory is that that'll be Franklin's job. Like after
making a pocket universe.
Yeah, yeah. After yes, yeah.
Literally, yeah.
After like thingy Secret Wars, when you know everyone's whatever done up, you know, blah blah blah. Okay,
that's cool.
Like that's he's gonna be the one to rewrite where everybody goes. You know, okay, and like how it's reset and you know all of that. So. And obviously he ties strongly to Victor Von Doom, because in the comic books he kidnaps him a few times, you know what I mean, and he actually raises him, you know, at one point just to spite Reed, you know. so like
the better dad.
I'm up a step
better dad in
comic. Yeah, exactly.
It's a very complicated type situation, you know. And but my favorite thing about Franklin in the comic books is his relationship with his sister, okay, Valkyrie, I want to say, or Val, you can check it for me. He almost only becomes as powerful as he becomes when he's with her, okay? Because obviously he cares for her more than anything else. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so like, and that's like a huge thing there too. So like, I'm excited to see that if we get that, or if that's just like probably in a next F4 film or, you know, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, like he plays a massive role and I'm really excited to see where
Valeria.
He goes on. Valeria.
What did you guys make of the ending? Do you think Galactus was, quote unquote, quotation marks, nerfed?
I'm glad he didn't lose. He got pushed, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I pushed the teleport. He didn't
push it out. Necessarily
got nerfed.
Yeah. I don't think he got nerfed. I think what Sue done, it makes sense to me.
It was the bare minimum. Yeah.
Yeah, because
you like the fact that Silver Surfer was the one that sacrificed.
I love that.
Or was the one that saved Donny from.
I love it.
But that happens a lot. That's the
full circle moment, isn't it?
Like, yeah. I love the fact that all Silver Surfer really did was push it in. In comparison to the Rise of Silver Surfer, where he completely kills Galactus. It's like
no sense.
If you had that in your bag all this time, why are you only just doing it now?
And why would Fee Galactus give you the power cosmic to kill him? Right? It doesn't make sense. Do you get me?
But let's not stay on the Silver Surfer. Fuck that. Nah, actually, that film's not that bad.
It's not bad.
It's the 2015 one. Yeah, awful film. I'm not mad at that. That makes sense to me. And I can't lie. I was waiting for her to show up full time. But the long they took, I like started to forget that she was there. So I thought it was actually going to be Johnny that was going to do it. I was like, I'm really excited. And when she comes in, I was like, yeah, this is cold.
Makes sense because of the bond that they...
Yeah. This is called... I liked it. I fucks with
yeah,
it.
I can't agree more, I guess, in that sense. Because it's like you see it early as well, like when she comes in after she fails to capture them, like the power difference between Silver Surfer and Galactus. And because all he did was get knocked back and Galactus was scrambling at this point.
Yeah.
He was like, shit, I'm about to get sucked into this portal to fuck knows wherever, and which just to go back on Silver Surfer as in her, like the speed, I really like how they showcased how fast she is, and kind of like it makes all the sense in the world where she's like almost faster than light or just as fast as light. Just give him a quick knock to go in there. Like I don't see how people have a problem with that, but hey,
and it was a push.
And
yeah,
also,
it's just a push. Like you can knock.
It was the last push as well. Yeah. It's not like she pushed him all the way into it. Yeah. He's about to go. He's like, yeah, on the edge.
Bare minimum, I guess. Which makes sense for her character with her power and Galactus's kind of like.
And then with that, Galactus let his guard down because if you can see, like he puts down his light because I'm assuming that he thinks that she's coming to help him.
But I
think that makes a lot more sense with that as well because he. Literally, like, lets his guard down for her sake and just pushes him into the wormhole.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Quick question. We'll try and be within 5 minutes, Kiz.
Yeah, it will,
obviously, as we can see, a lot of the movie has been sort of taken apart and chopped up. Now, I think it works well here in comparison to Brave New World, where, again, it's another movie you can see has been loosely chopped up and screwed and then put back together. I don't think that movie works
Yeah.
Has gone on the editing floor and it's not worked. Whereas this one, you can see it again, but I think it works better. What would you have liked to have seen in the movie more of? My example would be Vanessa Kirby come out and said that she had more scenes with Mole Man, played by Paul Walter Hauser, who's a fucking... If you've never seen him act before, go watch Blackbird. Fucking...
Oh, is that... I knew bad. I recognized him somewhere.
He's called that. He's called that.
Bro, I was like, this guy looks
serious,
familiar.
Serious show. Blackbird, yeah, Apple TV. Fez. I would have liked to see more of their relationship because it plays into like the politics that Sue Storm, she's looking after their particular world, and Mole Man ends up letting people come into his world. And then you have the scene with him and Johnny and the scene with him and Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro stopping
him and Reed.
Yeah.
The tension there. I would have liked to have seen more of those scenes. Is there anything else you guys
that scene, okay, with Pedro as well, okay, the only way you can actually insult him, because you can cuss him out, you can whatever, the only way you can actually insult him, okay, is his intelligence. Like, if you just, because that's what he,
that's what he prides himself on,
it. Yeah. So it was like, he was speaking to him like
an idiot.
Yeah, and it was freaking hilarious, you know what I mean? But yeah, sorry. Yes.
I want to hear from him.
I would have...
Beg!
I would like to see more of the Thing. Yeah. Like, just more of his...
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was good.
No.
I don't think we got enough.
Yeah. Just a tad more. And more so in terms of, I saw someone talk about there was like a scene with his reflection, and in the reflection was like, I must have missed
that. On the TV? Well, when he was looking at the TV?
He was looking at the TV through the store window.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have missed that when he saw himself.
He saw his reflection.
But I would have liked a little bit more, because obviously in a lot of the iterations that he feels insecure about what it looks like. And because the 4 years in, I didn't need that level of insecurity from previous films.
I think you see it in the moments where he goes to see Natasha Lyonne's character.
Yeah.
She ain't gonna like me, like that sort of thing.
But just a bit more of just him with Rachel, like, give me another scene with them two.
It was funny though, okay, I actually liked the fact that they didn't play on the fact that he was like, oh, I fucking hate myself.
We've got
that Bears now, innit?
Bears.
Okay, just what I'm saying. And actually, the fact that he was so comfortable, he was cooking, and he's found a way to live with, made me enjoy him so much more as well. Do you get me? And then, yes, I think you're right, to show the other side of him where he is still, you know, a mutant, you know, looking being, maybe give us more scenes with Rachel. But obviously it just didn't suit the pacing.
I'm not mad at all the editing. Like, I'm fine. I can definitely see like areas where people will be a bit aggrieved in terms of like feeling like
it's not a massive.
I think difference between that and, like, to your point about Cap is the intent. Why are we editing this? You know, like, not to get into it too tough, but there was a reason as to why Cap went through crazy edits. Whereas this one went through edits where it was just like, okay, cool, maybe we're bloating here too much or whatever. So it's all about intent, which is why I think
that. I think you guys mentioned you wanted more Johnny and Sue, which is...
More Johnny, Sue, and actually more Sue and Reed, okay? In the sense of emotional conversations. I think we got like two, but if it, like, all emotion doesn't have to be the same emotion. Okay, so I just want to see a bit more of that. Not even for Sue's sake here, but for Pedro's sake. Okay,
I agree.
Everyone's doing it
for Pedro's sake. I agree. Yeah. Yes, thanks. You know, thanks for making it all full circle.
But like I said, okay, I actually think that Reed / Pedro is gonna be very interesting to see in future films.
I don't know if he does too many more, you know, though.
Sorry?
I don't know if he does too many more of these movies.
I think, I'm pretty sure he signed like a six-picture deal.
Six-picture
deal. He's going to have to.
That Marvel money,
he's in two,
good,
that's confirmed. I can't see him doing more than maybe three more Marvel films.
MCU money.
Yeah, but that's enough, though. That's
crazy.
Fine.
I'm not complaining. Just saying.
Depends on the storyline, though.
I can't see him doing what RDJ would have done. I think.
Oh, know, no, I didn't expect that.
Days, I can, you know.
I think those days are done, man.
No, the reason why I can, okay, is because how long we know that Tom Holland is now going to be attached to like four to six more.
Four to three more?
Yeah, bro, he was out of contract before New Day, right? And when they gave him, what's it, the new deal, he signed like a four. What's it,
just double check, fact check that for me.
Yeah,
that,
and and also Chris Hemsworth, he's Thor for like three more films. Like he's he's locked in too.
I don't know if they need to give it up, bro. I can't lie.
Didn't they give like a thank you letter at the end
scene? In one more film, like apart from like get out, bro.
So he's
like, you know, Endgame. They were like. All the characters and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like a farewell.
It was a farewell to the Avengers, not to the actual fucking.
So it says that he's contracted for three more standalone Spider-Man films and three additional MCU appearances.
You gotta, guys. This is my lore, fam.
Yeah,
bro, you get me? Come on.
Hey, listen. I like Tom and he's cool.
No, but like that's why
three more films.
But that's why I think.
That's Tom Holland and Pedro. They're at different stages of their career.
No. I hear you, but
that's but 15 more years.
Guys. Man, here's you. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, like you guys said that it's deadish right now. Okay, but I'm saying that it's still happening.
So three movies, yeah.
So it's three standalone movies, and then also three. Additional MCU appearances, so it's going to be six movies of all
deal,
that he will be in.
Yeah, it's a six picture deal.
Oh, I don't know why I'm acting like that. All
right, that's like Devon Doom.
Let's do some ratings. Kids, I want to know your rating first, actually.
Out of 10, I would give it a 7.
Allahu Akbar.
Oh, it's 7.5.
What? Where did you get Superman?
I gave Superman an 8.
You thought Superman was better?
Oh, yeah.
You lied to me.
I told you got a bias, Manny.
I'm giving it a 7.5.
Who's?
I'm giving it an 8.4.
You want to give it a 10, isn't it?
6 out of 10.
give it what your heart wants to give it, bro.
What did you say?
I said 6.
Are you rating your looks?
I got a comedian here. But anyway, no, the film.
I give the movie, I've come down from an 8 to a 7.5, but yeah.
Hold on, AO.
7.5 is a good score. Yeah. I think it's better than Superman, so.
Yeah.
Let's do Manny. Rank your. You haven't seen Brave New World, have you?
No, but I can put it last just for the sake of it. I'm just going to be
rank
last.
Rank your superhero movies of 20.
There's only four, right?
It's four.
Brave New World will be last.
Oof.
Oof.
I know mine.
Oof. This is so close. Because I think, like. They're like 7.5s.
They're all, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go Thunderbolts 3.
Allah.
Superman 2. And Fantastic Four 1.
Puss.
So we're all just wrong. Brave New World first. No, I'm joking. Brave New World at 4th. Superman at 3. Thunderbolts at 2. And then F4 at 1.
Jason. Give us the wrong answer, please.
Give us the right answer.
Give us the right answer. Don't worry, I'm going to edit the things out.
Blazing,
Cap, Cap at 4, Thunderbolts at 3, Fantastic Four at 2, and then Super at 1.
Fair.
That's
guys?
Cap 4, Superman 3.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about the movie, bro. That's
no, but not, but 3.
Superman's not for me. It's not.
Thunderbolts is better.
And I literally told you in the last episode why it wasn't for me.
Let him land. Go on.
It's not for me, bruv. Yeah. And it's corny, bruv. Fuck that shit, man. Anyway, 2, Thunderbolts. And yeah, I can bear reasons why. Fucking film looks great.
Yeah.
Film's incredible.
The theme's
written amazingly.
Cast were good. Yeah. Jake Schreier, my guy. Come on, man. Fucking Superman.
I don't know about written amazingly.
It was written amazingly. Okay.
Is it well written, though?
And then number one. F4, bro.
I would say one thing about F4. I was a little bit. This is obviously. I didn't really.
We still let producer speak.
Get rid of the fact that we didn't see much of. Well, I don't think he was going to be in there, but Victor Von Doom. I wanted something.
Oh, post credit. Yeah.
I can't lie. I was annoyed when I saw the post credit.
I liked it, man.
No. Why? No, I liked the post credit. But it reminds me of the fact that I hate the fact that RDG is Doctor Doom.
I don't hate it, man.
Bro, do you know if there's a
I don't care if there's a comic book reason behind it.
It is.
No, I can't lie.
I'm saying I don't care. There's a comic book reason behind it.
But you will care.
No, I don't. I hate the fact that they brought back RDJ. No. After Endgame, it should have never come back to any MCU films. That's how I feel.
Retweet, retweet.
I was going to say one thing.
I mean, yeah, but no, because like, I'm still intrigued, man.
Yeah, I think him and Pedro are actually going to be elite. That's going to be elite between them two. When I think about it.
Talent-wise, nobody's doubting the talent. But I do understand. I get it. Because I agree. I agree. I don't like the fact that brought him back.
Emotion let go of RDG.
Yes.
I think it's like, this is not an MCU issue. This is an issue with films in general. You can't like build some. You can't build a scene up to let your audience emotionally let go of something, and then bring the person back.
That's Iron Man.
That just feels toxic, man.
Hey, I don't know.
I'm saying, bro.
Hey, EastEnders do it all the time. EastEnders do it all the time.
I think
it's gonna cook, bro. MCU is a soap opera,
bro. Okay,
I think it's gonna.
By the way, okay. I'll say, I'm just saying, okay. I think it is now basically confirmed, okay, that the spaceship that we see in
Thunderbolts
in the is Doom and Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a few people said it was Doom for quite some time.
Good movie,
Doom
man.
And Franklin,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, good movie. Fun.
Yeah, it's been all right.
It's been a not bad year for superhero movies. I can't
imagine. Oh, yeah, so, man, we've cooked. Thank you.
I've been a heel.
Thank you so much.
But hey, they cooked, bitch. I can't lie, man. You might have to come back to the crew, you know. They cooked, man.
I just want to say thank you for everyone that believed in us.
We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Shout out for giving us 7 out of 10 films.
We've got good movies at last.
We're the Post Credit Scene Podcast, 14 HQ Original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Make sure to drop us a comment on the YouTube and the TikTok and the Instagram as well.
Tell us your ranking of what the 40 Superior.
Only if you think Superman's mid. That's us over and out. Yeah, boom.
Fantastic Four. Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.